Shalom. Very good question. Australia, like many other countries, has very strict rules about its residents who hold offshore bank accounts. It is not illegal to have an offshore bank account, but it is illegal not to declare the income and the earnings from that offshore bank account in your tax return that you must lodge with the Commissioner of Taxation. The rules are quite severe, that they range from monetary penalties to jail in between the confiscation of your passport. And the penalties are quite severe, particularly from a monetary sense, where often they start at 75% of the tax not paid on those foreign earnings, plus interest. Then your case can be referred to a government agency, perhaps the Federal Police for further investigation, or the Department of Public Prosecutions for investigation and criminal prosecution, ending up possibly in jail.
Sir Carlo, is that a new rule, or it's always been like that?
It's always been there.
So what's the latest? Why suddenly people have started declaring bank accounts?
It's a gathering of many different drivers, and we're seeing that particularly in the large corporate world, where we now have, for instance, in transfer pricing, what's called the Google tax, where the revenue authorities, and Australia is one of the leading members of the OECD group that gathers information from many different sources. And with the advent of the internet and the intelligence gathering that's been occurring for many decades, the information that can be processed, reviewed and analysed leads to much targeted investigation by the Australian Tax Office or the UK Inland Revenue or the US Revenue Authorities and so on. The ATO recently, the Tax Office recently, I think it was the 8th of December 2015, at the conclusion of an amnesty, the Commissioner of Taxation, Chris Jordan, said, this is your last chance to come clean. And if you don't come clean and we find you, we will throw the book at you.
So people had till the 15th of December last year to declare bank accounts overseas. I believe the other banks, I know Israeli banks, they've got an agreement with the ATO to disclose that they've got a Mr. X or Y living in Australia with a bank account in Israel. Correct. Is that correct? Is that a new agreement?
Yes, it is. And as I alluded to previously, the information that is now available to the revenue authorities is huge. And the internet has actually been a big facilitator of the gathering of that internet. Secondly, the foreign revenue authorities, particularly members of the OECD, have come together and have said, we need to stop this. Many migrants in Australia in the 40s, 50s and 60s particularly, sent money offshore for various reasons. Then their children or grandchildren have landed with this problem and have realised that if they perpetuate that non-disclosure of the offshore bank account, it will lead to criminal prosecution because there were some very high profile cases of where Australians were actually sent to jail during the last 10 years. And then we overlay that with the corporate world and what's been happening there, and then the desire, as you would appreciate, of many of these nations in falling into budget deficits. They need to try and find extra revenue, and this is an easy source for them.
Do you know, many Holocaust survivors, they sort of lost faith in all the institutions, and many had bank accounts in Switzerland. What happened to those accounts in Switzerland, their children or grandchildren living in Australia now?
We've seen through various what's called offshore voluntary disclosure initiatives from the tax office. There was AVDI 1 and 2, and the last was Project Do It, and it's that you touched on, that it ended on the 19th of December. Many, thousands of Australian taxpayers came forward, and a large portion of those folk who made voluntary disclosure were of Israeli heritage, and they may have had accounts in Switzerland, they may have even still had accounts in Israel for that matter. Liechtenstein was another favoured jurisdiction. And the tax office understands why the Israeli people, even after World War II particularly, or during, why they went and put their money, for instance, in Switzerland. Time passed. But we now come forward 65, 50 years later. That problem still sits there. And for those folk that have not disclosed that offshore income and earnings, and particularly what they have offshore, whether it be Switzerland or Hong Kong or Liechtenstein or Israel, they face a terrible problem. They can hide and hope that they'll never be caught. But as I've said, the net is closing in on them, and they need to think about what they're going to do, because it's not an issue, a legacy you should leave for your children or grandchildren.
You said there was a moratorium. People could have disclosed their bank accounts till December 2015. But from my understanding, the ATO allows for extension.
Yes, and this was said by Christopher Jordan, the Commissioner of Taxation, and particularly the Deputy Commissioner of Taxation that heads up the high wealth individuals. Both said, while these amnesties are finished, and particularly Project Do It, as I said, and the Do It, the acronym stands for Disclose Offshore Income Today, and that finished last year, as we touched on, you can come forward still and make voluntary disclosure. There's not a tax review or audit going on in relation to your international tax affairs. You can come forward through a trusted advisor, whether lawyer or accountant, and say to the commissioner, I hold these assets offshore, an offshore bank account. They're often reflected in managed type investments, securities, interest-bearing accounts, foreign currency, USD, Swiss francs, whatever. I'd like to come clean. In those cases, the voluntary disclosure, the penalties by the commissioner are reduced, and also the prospect of criminal investigation would also be reduced. But at the end of the process, the problem is lifted off your shoulders. And you can come clean, because I know this does trouble many, many people now that it's more visible. We've had this money offshore. We're talking millions, maybe billions of dollars in assets, not a small amount. And the tax office does know there are still thousands of Australians that haven't come forward.
We are talking to Carlo Moretti, a tax partner with BDO in Sydney. Carlo is considered one of Australia's leading tax advisors. Carlos, so if people still have money overseas, inheritance, gifts, trust fund or whatever, what is this extension for how long? And what you're saying to us, is there still a window of opportunity?
Yes, the window of opportunity, it's called voluntary disclosure. It has always been there. It exists not just for foreign bank accounts, but any tax shortfall. So if you discover a discrepancy in your taxation affairs after you've lodged your tax return, you can come forward to the commission and say, I'm sorry, I made a mistake. And the commissioner will work with you and say, okay, thank you. You've saved me a lot of time and trouble. I'm going to go easy with you on penalties. In the context of what we're talking about here, offshore voluntary disclosure, it's a much sharper issue because we're now talking about tax avoidance by evasion. That's a criminal issue. But if you come forward and make voluntary disclosure, you're able to cut a deal with the commission and say, okay, I might owe you $100, but instead of imposing another $100 in penalties and perhaps even another $50 or $100 in interest, it depends how far back it goes, you can say to the commissioner, look, I might have held this offshore bank account for 50 years. The records I don't have, I've moved home or I've had a house in Israel that's burnt down or whatever. I'm thinking of one particular recent case, actually. But I do have the records for this period. Can we only amend, let's just say, the last 6 years, or it might be 8 years, maybe 10 at the most, let's say. Each case turns on its own facts, Nitsa. But I've been thinking of a case I've done recently. A gentleman, an Israeli, had received a gift from his father. The son had migrated here many years ago. He didn't know about the various offshore voluntary disclosure we talk about. His children were now in their 20s. He didn't want to leave this problem for them. We went through the process and we were able to settle with only 6 years of amendments, notwithstanding that he'd held this money for many, many, many years with very reduced penalties, more penalties around the 10% range as opposed to 90%. And most importantly, what he was able to agree with the Commissioner of Taxation is that his case would not be referred to the Department of Public Prosecution or the Australian Federal Police or the Australian Crime Commission. Here is some very good advice economically. All this money in Swiss bank accounts or in Israel, Liechtenstein, Hong Kong, whatever, they do not pay a good rate of return at all. And if the money had been invested, imagine if we had have invested $2 million at Bondi Beach real estate 50 years ago, what would that be worth today? People have lost money by having their money offshore. Really, at the end of the day, I think there's also very good economic drivers there to bring the money back to Australia. Some people might say at the moment today, oh, gee, I'd much rather have my money in USD. Well, you can still hold USD dollars in Australia. The opportunity is still there. It's not as generous as what was offered under the previous amnesties, but when you look at it in its totality, it is still enormously generous. But you need to be careful how you go through that process, and you do need an expert.
We are talking to Carlo Moretti. Carlo is a tax partner with BDO in Sydney. Carlo, can you please tell us about the intention of the Australian government to enter into a double tax treaty with Israel? What does it mean?
The double tax treaty, the government and the Israeli government announced their intentions to enter into a comprehensive treaty for the purposes of avoiding double taxation, in particular to share information in relation to residents of either jurisdiction that may have taxation and financial affairs in the other jurisdiction.
I thought there was always an agreement that if you pay tax in Australia, you don't have to pay tax in Israel. And if you pay tax in Israel, you don't have to pay tax in Australia. So what is this treaty? What's exactly, what is it touching on?
If you are a resident of Australia, you are taxable on worldwide income. So while you may be a resident of Australia and derive income in Israel, say from an offshore bank account, you still need to disclose it back in Australia. And while it may be subject to tax in Israel, it's also subject to tax in Australia. What it means is, having paid the tax, let's say, in Israel on that income, you need to disclose it here in Australia, and it may be the case, depending on the income, that it is taxable also in Australia, and the Australian government may give you a what's called a foreign tax credit that would reduce the Australian tax that would otherwise be payable. And in some circumstances, depending on the different tax rates between the jurisdictions and the type of income or gains, it may be that you have to pay top-up tax in Australia on that foreign income derived or sourced in Israel.
So when is this treaty coming into effect?
I'm not certain as to when it will come into effect. The government announced late last year that it had the intention to come up with a comprehensive tax treaty between the two jurisdictions.
We're talking to Carlo Moretti, an accountant, a tax partner with BDO Sydney, one of Australia's leading tax advisors. Are there any similar treaties with other countries?
Absolutely. Australia has many comprehensive tax treaties with our trading partners, the USA, the UK, New Zealand, Canada, South Africa and so on. But the fundamental purpose of the treaty is for the avoidance of double taxation.
Carlo Moretti, an accountant, a tax partner with BDO Sydney. Thank you very much for your advice and for your time.